Welcome to Base by Base, the papercast that brings genomics to you wherever you are. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to follow and rate us in your podcast app. So I want you to imagine a microscopic recycling center. Like, it is essentially the stomach of your cells. But what happens when that stomach gets, you know, just a little too acidic?
Well, that is exactly the mystery we are diving into today.
Yeah.
Because it turns out a tiny broken pressure valve hidden deep inside a cellular compartment could actually hold the key to stopping the devastating brain cell death we see in Parkinson's disease.
Right. I mean, what really happens when our cells lose the ability to digest their own waste? It is a massive question.
It really is. And what we are exploring in this deep dive is a fundamentally new understanding of how our cells maintain their internal balance. And, well, we're looking at the absolute cascading disaster that occurs when that delicate balance fails.
Yeah, it's basically a masterclass in microscopic plumbing. But before we get too deep into that plumbing, we absolutely have to celebrate the minds that mapped it out.
Oh, absolutely. The research team did an incredible job here.
Today, we celebrate the work of Nan Zhu, Jingzi Chen, Meiking Hu, Hoxing Zhu, and their incredible colleagues at Zhejiang University. They are the ones who have radically advanced our understanding of this cellular biology.
They really have. It is phenomenal work.
Okay, so let's unpack this. We keep talking about a cellular stomach and a recycling center. Biologically speaking, what are we actually looking at here?
Right, so we are talking about the lysosome. If you dig back into your high school biology memories, the lysosome is a specific organelle.
Like a little compartment.
Exactly, a specialized membrane-bound compartment inside the cell. And its primary job is degradation. It sweeps up cellular waste, misfolded proteins, damaged parts, and breaks them down so the building blocks can be reused.
But to pull off that level of destruction safely, it needs a specific environment, right?
Yes, it requires a highly specific, highly acidic internal environment. The optimal pH for a healthy lysosome is hovering right around 4.5 to 5.0.
Okay, and to give some context, the rest of the cell is around a neutral pH of 7.2. So the inside of the lysosome is significantly more acidic.
Much more acidic, yeah. And historically, we knew how it got that way. There is a proton pump, this massive enzyme complex called VATPase.
Wait, so it actively pumps protons in, like positively charged hydrogen ions?
Precisely. It constantly pumps them into the lysosome. And more protons mean more acidity.
So the VATPase is like a faucet that is just constantly pouring acid into the tub.
That is a great way to visualize it.
Yeah.
And we also knew about the emergency drain.
Right, the fast leak channel, TMM175, I think it was called.
Yes, exactly. That protein lets protons rush out when things get far too acidic. But here is the mystery the researchers from Zhejiang University were trying to solve.
Mathematical models suggested something was missing, right?
Yeah, models and structural observations suggested there had to be a slow leak pathway too. Like a subtle way to keep the lysosome from becoming too acidic over time when it's just resting at its optimal pH.
Okay, wait, I have to push back here. Think about a swimming pool.
Okay, I'm listening.
If you have the chemical balance slightly off, the water gets murky. But if you make it way too acidic, it literally burns you.
Right. It is dangerous.
So if the cell already has a fast leak channel, like a big reliable emergency drain, why does it even need a slow leak? I mean, isn't one drain enough to keep the pool from overflowing with acid?
It seems redundant, I know. But biological systems rarely rely on a single binary switch for crucial parameters like pH.
Because it's too risky.
Well, the fast leak, TMM175, is essentially inactive under mildly acidic conditions. It is an emergency release valve that only really kicks in when things go wildly, dangerously out of balance.
Ah, so maintaining a precise pH of 4.6 requires constant, minute adjustments. It's not just about stopping a catastrophic flood.
Exactly. It is about micromanagement, maintaining perfect tension. The lysosome needs a steady, slow vent to counteract the constant inward pumping of protons from the faucet.
Because without that slow vent, the baseline acidity would just slowly creep down to dangerous levels.
Well, yeah, that would eventually damage the organelle itself.
So how do you find a microscopic, slow-leaking valve that no one has been able to pin down before?
It is incredibly difficult. Because, like you said, looking for a slow leak in a microscopic water balloon while the faucet is still running is nearly impossible.
Yeah, the noise of the faucet would totally drown out the drip of the leak.
Which brings us to the core methodology of this paper. The researchers used a high-throughput screening approach on a very specific type of human cell line called HAP1.
What is special about HAP1 cells? I mean, why not just use regular human cells?
Well, HAP1 cells are near haploid. Most human cells are diploid, meaning they have two copies of every gene. you know, one from each parent.
Right. So if you knock out one gene to see what happens, the backup copy just compensates.
Exactly. It masks the effect. But haploid cells only have one copy of most genes.
Oh, that is brilliant. So it's like a genetic blank canvas.
Yes. If you knock out a gene in an HAP1 cell, there is no backup system. The resulting mutation is immediately obvious.
It makes the invisible visible. But what about the running faucet problem? How do they stop the VATPase?
They use a drug called bafillomycin A1, or BAFA1.
Let me guess, that drug turns off the faucet.
You are cracking right along with them. BAFA1 specifically blocks the inward proton pump.
Okay, so by turning off the inward flow of protons, they could finally isolate the leak.
Yes, they could finally observe the subtle, slow leak of protons escaping the lysosome.
But how do you actually see a proton leaking? I mean, they are subatomic particles.
Good question. They used a suite of highly sensitive biological dyes, tools with names like LysoTracker and Frodo-Green Dextrin.
Biological dyes, so they just color the acid?
You can think of them almost like thermal goggles, but for acidity. They literally glow brighter or dimmer depending on how acidic the environment is.
Oh, wow. So they could watch the acid leaking out in real time.
Like watching heat escape from a poorly insulated house.
Yes.
And they screen through a massive library of candidates focusing on proteins known to reside on the lysosomal membrane.
And that screening pointed to a culprit that sent shockwaves through the field. Because, hold on, I'm looking at my notes here.
Yeah, what do you see?
The screening pointed to SLC7A11. I recognize that from a completely different biology deep dive.
Most people do. That is why this was such a massive plot twist.
Isn't that a famous protein that sits on the outer surface of the cell? On the plasma membrane?
It is. Its well-documented day job is sitting on the outer surface of the cell, importing an amino acid called cysteine and exporting an amino acid called glutamate.
So finding it operating deep inside the cell, acting directly on the lysosomal membrane as a proton leak valve, that had to be completely unexpected.
Oh, entirely. It was a huge surprise.
Yeah.
But it also brought a lot of skepticism.
Right, because if a protein is famous for working on the outer cell wall, how do you prove that the effect you're seeing is actually happening deep inside at the lysosome?
Exactly. People ask, what if messing with the protein just breaks the outer cell wall function?
Yeah, and then that somehow creates a ripple effect that messes up the lysosome downstream.
That is the exact skepticism the scientific community threw at this paper. And the researchers anticipated it beautifully.
How did they prove it then?
To prove the effect was coming from the lysosome and not the plasma membrane, they performed a remarkably clever experiment using a genetic modification called the AAS trafficking mutation.
Wait. What does AAS stand for in this context?
It stands for amino acid sequence. In biology, certain short strings of amino acids act like cellular zip codes.
Oh, so they tell the cell's delivery system exactly where a protein is supposed to go.
Yes, exactly like a shipping label. And the AAS mutation changes that shipping label.
So it leaves the SLC7A11 protein perfectly functional mechanically, but changes its destination.
Precisely. It loses its GPS signal to travel to the lysosome. It only gets delivered to the outer cell surface.
Oh, wow. So the cell still has the protein doing its normal day job on the surface, bringing in nutrients, but it is completely missing from the deep interior.
And the results were definitive. When they introduced this AAS mutation, the slow proton leak in the lysosome completely vanished.
The surface function was fine, but the lysosome couldn't vent its acid.
That is brilliant. It proved beyond a shadow of doubt that SLC7A11 wasn't just influencing the lysosome from afar, it was physically sitting on the lysosomal membrane, acting as the valve.
Okay, I am genuinely stuck on this next part though. How is a surface transporter acting as a pressure valve?
It is a bit mind-bending, I agree.
Like, on the surface, its only job is swapping amino acids, moving cysteine one way and glutamate the other. I'm really struggling with the physics here.
It does seem counterintuitive.
How does moving a nutrient across a membrane magically delete an acid molecule from the organelle? That sounds like a violation of physics.
It does, until you look at the chemistry. It comes down to a mechanism the authors call the substrate is proton shuttle.
Okay, break that down for me.
To understand it, we have to look at massive concentration gradients. Inside the lysosome, the amino acid cysteine is highly concentrated.
Because it's a leftover product of all that cellular garbage being degraded, right?
Exactly. And outside the lysosome, in the general fluid of the cell, the amino acid glutamate is highly concentrated.
So nature hates a gradient. The cysteine desperately wants out of the lysosome to find balance, and the glutamate desperately wants in.
And SLC7A11 is the revolving door that lets them swap places.
Okay, I get the swap. But where does the acid go?
Here is the brilliant piece of chemistry. Amino acids can carry different electrical charges depending on the pH of the liquid they're floating in.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Glutamate, out in the neutral pH of the cytosol, has a negative charge. It has a carboxylate group that is missing a proton.
But when that glutamate gets pulled through the door and into the highly acidic environment of the lysosome,
the environment is so packed with free protons that one of them forces itself onto the glutamate molecule.
Oh, so it's like hiding a pill inside a piece of cheese for a dog.
That is a phenomenal analogy, yes.
The cell desperately wants to get rid of the proton, but it can't push it out the door directly. So it chemically glues the proton to the glutamate, neutralizing it, and tricks the revolving door into escorting it out.
Because of its chemical properties. When glutamate rushes into the acidic lysosome, it effectively binds to a proton. And when the cysteine is pushed out into the neutral cytosol, it releases a proton.
So the simple act of swapping these two amino acids effectively shuttles a proton equivalent out of the lysosome.
Exactly. The cell is hiding the proton on an amino acid and using the natural flow of nutrient traffic to vent the pressure.
That is a breathtakingly elegant evolutionary solution.
It really is.
So what happens if we break this valve? Like if the researchers use a chemical inhibitor, like the compound called Erastin mentioned in the paper, or if they just genetically knock out the valve entirely?
The consequences are dire. If you knock out the gene or block it with Erastin, the lysosome overacidifies.
Because without that slow, constant vent, the VAT pace pump just keeps pushing protons in.
Right, the pH drops dangerously low, crashing down to around 4.2.
Okay, dropping from 4.6 down to 4.2, to someone used to whole numbers, that might not sound like a huge drop.
It doesn't sound like much, no.
But the pH scale is logarithmic, right? Like the Richter scale for earthquakes.
It is. A drop of 0.4 on the pH scale represents a massive multi-fold increase in actual acidity.
That is cellular indigestion on a catastrophic scale.
It triggers a complete breakdown of the system. At pH 4.2, those vital degradative enzymes we talked about earlier, specifically one called cathepsin B, they stop working optimally.
Because their physical structure relies on being at 4.6,
right? Exactly. When it gets too acidic, they unfold and become useless.
It's like trying to cook a delicate pastry in an oven that's running 100 degrees too hot. The mechanism just breaks.
And when the enzymes stop working, the lysosome stops degrading waste.
Yeah.
The cell starts hoarding garbage.
What kind of garbage?
You begin to see an accumulation of a highly toxic biological sludge called lipofuscin.
Lipofuscin, gross.
Yeah, and the lysosomes themselves actually begin to swell up and physically enlarge because they are so stuffed with undigested material.
So the cellular stomach is completely bloated and packed with toxic trash.
Under the microscope, these knocked out cells look virtually identical to cells suffering from lysosomal storage disorders, or LSDs.
Wait, those are those devastating, often fatal genetic diseases in humans, right? Where the cellular recycling system fundamentally fails.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, if you are listening to this right now while going for a walk or commuting or drinking your morning coffee, I want you to think about this.
It is a wild thought.
Your own neurons are doing this exact balancing act right now. Every single second, millions of these tiny SLC7A11 valves in your brain are venting acid just to keep your memory intact and your body moving.
It is incredible when you frame it that way.
Because if this microscopic recycling plant gets clogged in a real living person, what happens to them? How does this microscopic garbage pile scale up to a whole body disease?
It scales up in a terrifying way, particularly in the brain. Neurons are incredibly sensitive to waste buildup because they don't divide and replace themselves very often.
Right, a brain cell has to last you a lifetime.
Which means its internal recycling center has to be flawless. The researchers discovered that when this lysosomal failure occurs, it directly facilitates the pathological aggregation of a protein called alpha-synuclein.
Alpha-synuclein? Wait, that is the hallmark protein of Parkinson's disease, isn't it?
It is. In Parkinson's disease, alpha-synuclein misfolds and clumps together into toxic aggregates called Lewy bodies.
And those clanks ultimately kill the dopamine-producing neurons in the brain, leading to the tremors and cognitive decline.
Exactly. What this paper is showing out is that when the SLC7A11 pressure valve fails, the resulting acidic indigestion in the lysosome directly leads to the buildup of those exact Parkinson's-linked clumps.
That is a staggering connection. A tiny pH imbalance deep in a single cell leads to one of the most debilitating neurodegenerative diseases we know of.
And unfortunately, it doesn't stop there.
Wait, there is more.
Yeah. We mentioned earlier that SLC7A11 was known for preventing a specific type of cell death called ferroptosis.
Right, ferroptosis, I've heard that term. It means iron-dependent cell death. But what does that actually mean for the cell?
It all comes down to redox balance, the balance of reduction and oxidation reactions in the cell. You can think of oxidation as biological rusting.
Biological rusting.
Okay. When redox balance fails, you get a buildup of lipid peroxides, which are essentially oxidized fats. And these damaged fats literally tear microscopic holes in the cell's outer membrane, causing the cell to burst and die.
And for a long time, scientists thought SLC7A11 prevented this biological rusting solely by working on the outer cell membrane.
But this paper flips that assumption completely upside down. It provides a crucial missing link.
What did they find?
The researchers showed that the over-acidification of the lysosome itself acts as a massive trigger for ferroptosis.
So the acidic indigestion causes the rusting.
Basically. When the bloated acidic lysosome eventually breaks down, it releases reactive iron and those toxic lipid peroxides directly into the cell. It tears the cell apart from the inside out.
Okay, so let's summarize the damage here. The cell is bloated with garbage. The brain is accumulating Parkinson's plaques, and the cells are actively tearing themselves apart through ferroptosis.
It paints a pretty grim picture.
It sounds completely hopeless, but as I was reading the sources, there is a rescue experiment.
There is, and it's perhaps the most elegant part of the entire study. The researchers asked a simple question.
Which was what?
If the root cause of all this death and dysfunction is simply that the lysosome is too acidic, what happens if we just gently neutralize the acid?
Okay, how did they do that? You can't just pour baking soda on brain cells.
No, you can't. They took these dying, genetically knocked out cells, and they added a tiny microscopic dose of a drug called chloroquine, specifically a 1 micromolar dose, which they refer to as CQ1.
Wait, chloroquine, like the famous anti-malarial drug?
That's the one.
Doesn't they usually destroy lysosomes? I thought researchers used that in the lab specifically to shut down cellular recycling.
That is usually true. At high standard doses, chloroquine floods the lysosome, completely neutralizes all the acid, and stops the recycling process entirely.
So why didn't it destroy these cells?
Because the researchers didn't use a sledgehammer here, they used a scalpel. Chloroquine is a basic molecule that can bind protons and carry them across membranes.
Oh, I see.
By using a microdose, they turned it into a gentle chemical vent. It released just enough excess acid to bring the pH from that toxic 4.2 back up to the healthy 4.6.
They literally gave the cell an antacid.
And the results were miraculous.
What happened?
By simply correcting the pH, the cathepsin enzymes woke back up and started working perfectly.
Wow.
The lysosomes shrank back to their normal size. The toxic alpha-C nuclein aggregates were cleared away, and the cells were completely saved from ferroptotic death.
That is just mind-blowing. By tweaking the pH by a fraction of a decimal point, they reversed the cellular hallmarks of Parkinson's and stopped cell death in its tracks.
It is an incredible finding.
It almost sounds too good to be true. I mean, there have to be some caveats, right?
Well, as with all groundbreaking science, we must remain objective and acknowledge the boundaries of what we know. And the researchers are very transparent about the study's limitations.
Let's hear the caveats. We always need the reality check.
The experiments relied heavily on inhibiting the main VAT pace pump with drugs like BAFA1 to unmask the slow leak.
Right, they had to turn off the faucet to hear the drip.
Exactly. While completely necessary for the experiment to work, manipulating the primary pump creates an artificial state.
So it might obscure how other things work.
Yeah, it might obscure how other, yet-to-be-discovered leak pathways interact in a fully natural environment.
That makes sense. What else?
Furthermore, while these cellular models are incredibly compelling, the next crucial step is conducting extensive in vivo studies.
Testing it in living animals.
Right. We need to test this in complex living organisms over long periods to see if manipulating lysosomal pH can truly halt or reverse neurodegeneration in a whole brain.
It's the classic scientific journey. You find a shiny new key, you prove it opens a very specific lock in a petri dish, but now you have to find out if it opens the door in a living, breathing patient.
Exactly. I mean, that is the perfect way to frame it. The foundation laid here is undeniably profound, but the real-world application is the next frontier.
So let's bring this all together. What is the ultimate takeaway for you listening right now?
I would say it's that SLC7A11 isn't just a surface protein managing oxidative stress. It is an unconventional, deeply hidden lysosomal pressure valve.
And it uses that brilliant amino acid swap to safely vent protons.
Yes. When this valve fails, our cellular stomachs become dangerously acidic, losing their ability to digest waste.
This failure leads to toxic, bloated cells and the buildup of specific proteins directly linked to Parkinson's disease and catastrophic cell death.
And most importantly, it proves that cellular health isn't just about having the right parts present. It's about maintaining an excruciatingly precise internal environment. The environment dictates the function.
Which leaves us with a truly tantalizing thought to end on. What does this mean for the future of treating neurodegenerative diseases? We've spent decades trying to design incredibly complex drugs to dissolve brain plaques or replace dead neurons. But could the secret to saving our brain cells be as beautifully simple as giving their internal stomachs a perfectly calibrated antacid?
It is definitely something to think about.
This episode was based on an open access article under the CC BY 4.0 license. You can find a direct link to the paper and the license in our episode description. If you enjoyed this, follow or subscribe in your podcast app and leave a 5-star rating. If you'd like to support our work, use the donation link in the description. Now, stay with us for an original track created especially for this episode and inspired by the article you've just heard about. Thanks for listening, and join us next time as we explore more science, base by base.
Skin.